The dust from the municipal elections is settling, which means my next guest can maybe take a break, slow down a little bit, take a deep breath after covering races throughout these last several months. WBOI reporter and host of the now 40-year-old Morning Edition, Zach Bernard, welcome to WBOI Presents.
Thank you, Ben. Serenity now. It's a good time.
As you covered elections, city council did not stop working, so we have the budget and many other October items we can discuss. But first, after this week's at-large races, there will be not one but two councilmen who helped to pass the budget who will not be returning to city council. Your thoughts on John Crawford and Michael Baranda?
Yes, we knew John Crawford would not be returning to council. He was the council president this year, and he was a very, very helpful and strong voice on the council. But nonetheless, we knew that he ran in the Republican primary for mayor against Tim Smith and lost. That sacrificed any opportunity for him to run for his council seat again. As for Baranda, just couldn't get across the finish line in the end. We saw a lot of enthusiasm for Democratic candidates, Glenn Hines and Michelle Chambers. Also, Tom Freistroffer was the Republican to retain his seat in the at-large portion of council. Baranda just couldn't get over that hump, but he was a firm voice in council, believed in what he believed in, but would also meet halfway on a lot of different issues. So we got a lot of good new voices on council, but he's one that we'll miss for sure.
You've given our listeners updates throughout the budgeting process. What do they need to know now?
Well, the budget was finalized, and it was finalized about a week before it's supposed to be on November 1st. It was a very short discussion, and not as much was cut as we're usually led to believe. It was only maybe a 2.5 hour, 3 hour discussion. Usually we're there all night. And out of a $180 million budget, we saw $955,000 in cuts. That's virtually nothing. The biggest cut came in $500,000 for streetscape improvements. That was proposed by 2nd District Republican Councilman Russ Yale. He stated that a lot of the streetscape projects could be within TIF districts, which and then would fund the projects from taxes on new developments within those TIF districts. It's complicated, a bit convoluted, but that was the reasoning, and ultimately it went through, and we did see some various cuts across the board, but ultimately nothing significant that puts any agency in danger.
We heard about neighborhood improvements throughout October. How did those play in?
Yeah, we frankly heard about neighborhood improvements throughout the last few months because back in July, Mayor Tom Henry proposed an investment of $3 million in state income tax to city neighborhoods. And it was a big back and forth on what was called the Investing in Neighborhoods Now project, really exactly what that money was going towards. There were a couple stipulations that council didn't like. The one part of the proposal that they rejected was an additional $250,000 for the homeowner repair project. Otherwise, the remainder of the package went through as we expected. Neighborhood partnerships received the biggest boost of $1 million that was set aside to empower residents to make improvements on their own property, with each of the city's four quadrants receiving an even $250,000. So everyone kind of got what was promised for them except for the homeowner repair program.
Let's shift focus to development. What's the latest on electric works? And a new project was just announced for the Spy Run Bridge out of downtown.
Yes, we saw the Capital Improvement Board make a couple of changes with regard to electric works. Previously, they had a couple of benchmarks to meet during this year, which was for finalizing who the tenants would be and then eventually closing on the property. Those dates have changed. We're now going to see a couple of benchmarks move to February 1st, and the closing date was moved to April 30th. So the developers for electric works are going to have just a little bit more time to get some of their commitments in order. As for development throughout October, I mean, it was just an influx of development projects and opportunities that came up. Because of the election, I'm certain that there was probably a bit of gamesmanship as far as announcing them all in one fell swoop, because the announcement started coming after early voting began. So some of us were keeping an eye on that anyway. But Ruhoff Mortgage announced that they will be building their headquarters in the vacant lot that's currently across from Parkview Field. Of course, that's not going to be vacant for long. And then the Headwaters Lofts project was announced. And so there's just a lot of different projects that came out in October that people are getting really excited about. That leads to an investment of about $180 million when you take everything together.
One final item on health. There's been a lot of coverage about vaping recently. How is this issue being handled at the local level?
Yeah, the County Health Board had a meeting about this, and I was actually surprised because we've seen communities sort of take the reaction of we need to ban products, we need to do something quickly, we need to make sure that we're at the forefront of this. And it does sort of remove a little bit of nuance from the conversation when that happens. We did not see that here. We actually saw Dr. Brian Henriksen present for about 20 minutes as to what could be leading to the vaping problems. And Henriksen noted that we know that nicotine's dangerous and that we know that people smoking a lot, whether it's through vape products or cigarettes, is not inherently a good thing. So looking at that as the cause may not be in the best interest. Instead, it's modded vape, you know, cartridges, modded vape products and vaporizers themselves, and how, you know, a user who wants to smoke more and get more out of a hit can have their piece modified in order to do that. And those pieces do exist on the side market, and they're not exactly regulated. So it was interesting to hear that perspective brought up, is to say, hey, maybe let's not look at banning products outright. Let's look at the products that people have access to and how we can respond to that. So nothing formal was decided from the health department, but it does look like a very thorough approach is going to be taken to this. And, you know, I'll editorialize a little bit here. That was pretty nice to see.
An incredibly busy October, as well as an election season, for WBOI host and reporter Zach Bernard. Zach, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure, Ben. Thank you.